now on MormonChannel.org, the Mormon Channel presents Q&A, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
From The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, this is the Mormon Channel's Q&A, questions and answers. We receive lots of questions during the week, and we do our very best to try to answer those questions. If you have a question for the Mormon Channel and you'd like us to answer it on Q&A, please send us an email. Our email address is mormonchannel@ldschurch.org. mormonchannel@ldschurch.org. We received an interesting question that says, quote, "I want to understand the law of the fast better. How can my fast become more meaningful and in accordance with the law?" Close quote. This is an important question because the law of the fast is a regular part of our worship, but many of us are not benefiting from it in the ways that we can and should be. President Howard W. Hunter taught the important truth that the law of the fast has existed in the gospel of Jesus Christ for much, if not all, the recorded spiritual history of the world. Throughout the ages, fasting has been a powerful means of drawing mankind to God. From the October 1985 General Conference, here is President Howard W. Hunter.
It seems to be impossible to determine from the records that are available to us the circumstances under which fasting originated in ancient times, or what its purpose was in the beginning. Nevertheless, we find reference to it as having been practiced in the earliest of times as an expression of grief or emotion. It was associated with serious and heartfelt sorrow for sin, with times of mourning, and with occasions of strong emotion. The early Israelites practiced fasting, although there are very few references to it. Usually such references as are made are associated with some particular occasion or in connection with attempts to receive communications from God, as was the case of the fasting of Moses and Elijah. Prior to the period of the exile, there are few records of fasting by the people of Israel as a whole, except those fasts held for the needs of special occasions, such as the deaths of Saul and Jonathan. There were other public fasts to seek divine assistance before wars or battles. It can be presumed that Moses fasted because he mentioned fasting without advocating any particular fast in his writings. After the period of the exile, however, both public and private fasts began to be observed, sometimes accompanied by weeping and wearing sackcloth and ashes. The most prominent fast was the annual Day of Atonement. It also became a custom of the pious in Judaism to fast on 2 days of the week, the second and fifth day, which were the days Moses went up and came down from Mount Sinai. Approaching the Christian era, we find a great devotion to fasting among the extreme groups of the Jews, particularly the Pharisees. But Jesus did not instruct his disciples by setting down any specific requirements regarding the nature or frequency of fasting. In his Sermon on the Mount, however, he said, "When ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance." This would indicate that there should be sincerity when fasting was observed. He himself had fasted 40 days and 40 nights.
That's President Howard W. Hunter. Since the time of Adam, God's people have fasted to help them draw near to him and to worship him. According to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 4, Jesus showed the importance of fasting by his own example. Through Latter-day Revelation, we learned that the Lord still expects His people to fast and pray often. That from Doctrine and Covenants, section 88, verse 76. Fasting means to go without food or drink. Occasionally, fasting is good for our bodies and helps our minds become more active. The Savior taught us that purposeful fasting is more than just going without food or drink. We must also concentrate on spiritual matters. From the October 1974 General Conference, President Ezra Taft Benson spoke of the proper manner in which we should conduct our fasts.
A certain kind of devil goes not out except by fasting and prayer, the scripture tells us. Periodic fasting can help clear up the mind and strengthen the body and the spirit. The usual fast, and the one we are asked to participate in for Fast Sunday, is for 24 hours without food or drink. Some people, feeling the need, have gone on longer fasts of abstaining from food, but have taken the needed liquids. Wisdom should be used, and the fast should be broken with light eating. To make a fast most fruitful, it should be coupled with prayer and meditation. Physical work should be held to a minimum, and it's a blessing if one can ponder on the scriptures and the reason for the fast.
That's President Ezra Taft Benson. Prayer is a necessary part of fasting. Through the scriptures, prayer and fasting are mentioned together. Our fasting should be accompanied by sincere prayer, and we should begin and end fasting with prayer. This principle was taught with power by Elder Joseph B. Worthland. From the April 2001 General Conference, here's Elder Joseph B. Worthland.
We observe that in the scriptures, fasting almost always is linked with prayer. Without prayer, fasting is not complete fasting. It's simply going hungry. If we want our fasting to be more than just going without eating, we must lift our hearts, our minds, and our voices in communion with our Heavenly Father. Fasting coupled with mighty prayer is powerful. It can fill our minds with the revelations of the Spirit. It can strengthen us against times of temptation. Fasting and prayer can help develop within us courage and confidence. It can strengthen our character and build self-restraint and discipline. Often when we fast, our righteous prayers and petitions have greater power. Testimonies grow, we mature spiritually and emotionally, and sanctify our souls. Each time we fast, we gain a little more control over our worldly appetites and passions. Fasting and prayer can help us in our families and in our daily work. They can help us magnify our callings in the church. President Ezra Taft Benson taught, "If you want to get the spirit of your office and calling as a new president of a quorum, a new high counselor, a new bishop, or I might say a Relief Society president, try fasting for a period. I don't mean just missing one meal, then eating twice as much the next meal. I mean really fasting and praying during that period. It will do more to give you the real spirit of your office and calling and permit the spirit to operate through you than anything I know." Close quote.
Though fasting coupled with prayer can have a powerful impact, occasionally we may be tempted to do more than is commanded. We may feel that if we fast longer than 24 hours, we may gain greater blessings. During the April 2009 General Conference, Elder Russell M. Nelson taught of the wisdom needed to avoid the unnecessary when it comes to keeping this sacred law.
A plea for wisdom in fasting was offered by President Joseph F. Smith, who cautioned that there is such a thing as overdoing. A man may fast and pray till he kills himself, and there isn't any necessity for it nor wisdom in it. The Lord can hear a simple prayer offered in faith in half a dozen words, and He will recognize fasting that may not continue more than 24 hours just as readily and as effectually as He will answer a prayer of 1,000 words and fasting for a month. The Lord will accept that which is enough with a good deal more pleasure and satisfaction than that which is too much and unnecessary. Close quotation.
You're listening to the Mormon Channel from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We received a question a couple of weeks ago that says, quote, I want to understand the law of the fast better. How can my fast become more meaningful in accordance with the law? Close quote. Fasting can have many purposes. We can overcome weaknesses or problems by fasting and praying. Sometimes we may wish to fast and pray for help or guidance for others, such as a family member who is ill or in need of a blessing. Through fasting, we can come to know the truth of things, just as the prophet Alma did in the Book of Mormon. He said, quote, I have fasted and prayed many days that I might know these things of myself. And now I do know of myself that they are true, for the Lord God hath made them manifest unto me by his Holy Spirit. Close quote. That from Alma chapter 5, verse 46. According to Alma chapter 28, verses 4 through 6, we can fast to help others embrace the truth. Fasting can help comfort us in times of sorrow and mourning. According to Helaman chapter 3, verse 35, fasting can help us become humble and feel closer to our Father in heaven. Our purpose in fasting should not be to impress others. In the book of Matthew, the Lord counseled, quote, Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast. Close quote. That from Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. The Lord provides us with an opportunity to join each other in fasting and prayer on a regular basis. One Sunday each month, Latter-day Saints observe a fast day. On this day, we neither eat or drink for two consecutive meals. If we were to eat our evening meal on Saturday, then we would not eat or drink until the evening meal on Sunday. All members who are physically able should fast. We should encourage our children to fast after they've been baptized, but we should never force them. The fast day is a special day for us to humble ourselves before the Lord in fasting and prayer. It is a day to pray for forgiveness from our sins and for the power to overcome our faults and to forgive others. On Fast Sunday, members of the church meet together and partake of the sacrament. They strengthen themselves and one another by bearing testimony in Fast and Testimony meeting. President Howard W. Hunter in the October 1985 General Conference talks about the history of Fast Day.
In the early days when the membership of the church was small, the holding of Fast Day on Thursday was not a problem. But as time went on, it caused employees to take time from their work to attend fast meetings. Merchants had to close their businesses, and many other difficulties resulted from weekday observance. A decision was made by the first presidency in the 12 that the monthly fast meeting should be held on the first Sunday of each month. The first Sunday of December 1896 was the date set for the change. From that time to the present, nearly a century, the fast day has been observed, in most instances on the first Sunday of the month, as a religious practice. Members of the church may fast at any time as they have a need. But the fast contemplated on the day referred to as the fast day, as defined by President Joseph F. Smith, is that food and drink are not to be partaken of for 24 hours, from even to even. From even to even has been given the meaning of going without two meals, from the evening meal on the night before to the evening meal on fast day. President Smith went on to say, in addition, the leading and principal object of the institution of the fast among the Latter-day Saints was that the poor might be provided with food and other necessities. It is therefore incumbent upon every Latter-day Saint to give to his bishop on fast day the food that he or his family would consume for the day that it may be given to the poor for their benefit or blessing, or in lieu of the food, that its equivalent amount, or if the person be wealthy, a liberal donation in money be so reserved and dedicated to the poor. Are we not wealthy? If the Lord has blessed us with something we can share with others, to discipline ourselves through fasting brings us in tune with God. And fast day provides an occasion to set aside the temporal so that we might enjoy the higher qualities of the spiritual. As we fast on that day, we learn and better understand the needs of those who are less fortunate.
That's President Howard W. Hunter. The monthly fast day that the Lord has instituted includes the bearing of testimonies. Once a month, we come together as a people, humbled through the power of the fast, and we share the true source of our happiness. In the 1996 General Conference, President Henry B. Eyring spoke of the power of the fast in testimony meeting.
The fast also helps us to feel humble and meek, so that the Holy Ghost may more easily be our companion. By our fast, we both keep our covenant to care for others, and we prepare to keep our covenant to bear testimony. Those who have prepared carefully for the fast and testimony meeting won't need to be reminded how to bear testimony should they feel impressed to do it in the meeting. They won't give sermons, nor exhortations, nor travel reports, nor try to entertain as they bear witness. Because they will already have expressed appreciation to people privately, they will have less need to do it publicly. Neither will they feel a need to use eloquent language or to go on at length. A testimony is a simple expression of what we feel. The member who has fasted both for the blessing of the poor and for the companionship of the Spirit will be feeling gratitude for the love of God and the certainty of eternal life. Even a child can feel such things, which may be why sometimes the testimony of a child so moves us, and why our preparation of fasting and prayer produces in us childlike feelings. That preparation for the fast and testimony meeting is a covenant obligation for members of the church. The offering of the gospel to those we meet and to our families are covenant obligations. We can take heart that our honest effort to keep our covenants allows God to increase our power to do it. We all need that assurance at times when our promise to love and to witness seems hard for us.
That's President Henry B. Eyring. President Brigham Young spoke of the beginning of this inspired program. Speaking to the saints, he said, quote, "You know that the first Thursday in each month we hold as a fast day. How many here know the origin of this day? Before tithing was paid, the poor were supported by donations. They came to Joseph and wanted help in Kirkland, and he said that there should be a fast day, which was decided upon. It was to be held once a month, as it is now, and all that would have eaten that day of flour or meat or butter or fruit or anything else was to be carried to the fast meeting and put into the hands of a person selected for the purpose of taking care of it and distributing it among the poor." Close quote. In the April 2001 General Conference, Elder Joseph B. Worthlin talks about the compassionate law of the fast.
When we fast, brethren and sisters, we feel hunger, and for a short time, we literally put ourselves in the position of the hungry and the needy. As we do so, we have greater understanding of the deprivations they might feel. When we give to the bishop an offering to relieve the suffering of others, we not only do something sublime for others, but we do something wonderful for ourselves as well. King Benjamin taught that as we give of our substance to the poor, we retain a remission of our sins from day to day. Another Book of Mormon prophet, Amulek, explained that often our prayers have no power because we have turned our backs on the needy. If you feel that Heavenly Father is not listening to your petitions, ask yourself if you are listening to the cries of the poor, the sick, the hungry, and the afflicted all around you. Some look at the overwhelming need in the world and think, What can I do that could possibly make a difference? I will tell you plainly one thing you can do. You can live the law of the fast and contribute a generous fast offering.
That's Elder Joseph B. Worthlin. In the October 1977 General Conference, here's Bishop Victor L. Brown.
President Spencer W. Kimball expanded our vision of being generous in our offerings to the Lord when he said, and again repeated this morning, sometimes we have been a bit penurious and figured that we had for breakfast one egg, and that costs so many cents, and then we give that to the Lord. I think that when we are affluent, as many of us are, that we ought to be very generous. I think we should be very generous and give instead of the amount we saved by our two meals of fasting, perhaps much more, 10 times more, where we are in a position to do it. End quote. Since President Kimball issued this call 3.5 years ago, and of course again this morning, fast offering donations have increased substantially. These sacred funds have blessed many church members in all parts of the world. Those who received were certainly blessed, but those who gave were even more so. When we generously give to the Lord, we receive from Him that which is of greater value than our offering. When we keep His commandments, He doth immediately bless us. It is impossible to place the Lord in our debt.
That's Bishop Victor L. Brown. If we approach our monthly fast with spiritual preparation, pay a generous fast offering, and combine our fasting with prayer, we will experience the intended effects of the law of the fast. Fulfilling the law will lead to the attached blessing. The Lord is happily bound by our obedience to the law of the fast. As Bishop Brown explained, one of the blessings provided by the law of the fast is a powerful sense of self-control. This exertion of willpower can bless our lives in many wonderful ways. Fasting helps us gain strength of character. When we fast properly, we will learn to control our appetites and passions. We are a little stronger by having proved to ourselves that we have self-control. If we teach our children to fast, they will develop the spiritual strength to overcome greater temptations later on in their lives. Elder L. Tom Perry in the April 1986 General Conference talks about this self-mastery.
Fast offering is also one of the finest ways of developing our own discipline and self-control. Plato said, "The first and the best victory is to conquer self." To be conquered by self is, of all things, the most shameful and vile. Fasting helps to teach us to have the ability of self-mastery. It helps us to gain the discipline we need to gain control over ourselves. Again, we can conclude, if we are wise in following the Lord's law of fasting, we too will receive benefits physically.
That's Elder L. Tom Perry. You're listening to The Mormon Channel, a production of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. This is Q&A, Questions and Answers. If you have a question for us or would like to comment on this episode of Q&A, you can send us an email. Our email address, mormonchannel@ldschurch.org. We received a question a few weeks ago that says, quote, "I want to understand the law of the fast better. How can my fast become more meaningful and in accordance with the law?" Close quote. Isaiah of the Old Testament likewise wrote of the Lord's rich promises to those who fast and help the needy. We are promised peace, improved health, and spiritual guidance. Isaiah tells us of the blessings that come when we fast. Quote, "Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am." Close quote. That from Isaiah chapter 58, verses 8 through 9. Fasting improves our lives and gives us added strength. It helps us live other principles of the gospel because it draws us nearer to the Lord. Elder Joseph B. Worthlin in the April 2001 General Conference talks about how we are blessed by the fast.
How well I remember my father, the bishop of our ward, filling my small red wagon with food and clothing, and then directing me as a deacon in the church to pull the wagon behind me and visit the homes of the needy in our ward. Often, when fast offering funds were depleted, my father would take money from his own pocket to study the needs of the needy in his flock with food that would keep them from going hungry. Those were the days of the Great Depression, and many families were suffering. I remember visiting one family in particular, a sickly mother, an unemployed and discouraged father, and five children with pallid faces, all disheartened and hungry. I remember the gratitude that beamed in their faces when I walked up to their door with my wagon nearly spilling over with needed supplies. I remember how the children smiled. I remember how the mother wept. And I remember how the father stood, head bowed, unable to speak.
That's Elder Joseph B. Worthlin. When we fast wisely and prayerfully, we develop our faith. With that faith, we will have a greater spiritual power. For example, Alma, who was a Book of Mormon prophet, tells the story of meeting again with the sons of Mosiah many years after their miraculous conversion. He felt great joy when he had learned that they had strengthened their faith and had developed great spiritual power. They had gained this power because, quote, they had given themselves to much prayer and fasting, wherefore they did have the spirit of prophecy and the spirit of revelation, close quote. That from Alma chapter 17, verse 3. The sons of Mosiah had been preaching for 14 years to the Lamanites. Because the sons of Mosiah had fasted and prayed, the Spirit of the Lord increased the power of their words. This gave them great success in their missionary work. Bishop Victor L. Brown illustrated one of the greatest spiritual blessings of a righteous fast. As we feel ourselves humbled before the hunger of our bodies and our spirits leap forth with joy, we are learning to be like the Savior. We are sacrificing ourselves for the sake of others and personal righteousness. If we live the law of the fast to its fullest, we will grow in spirit and joy as a result, just as the Savior did. From the October 1977 General Conference, here's Bishop Victor L. Brown.
The greatest lesson ever taught with regard to fasting was taught by the Savior himself. In St. Luke we read, "Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. After this, the devil used all his cunning to tempt the Savior to abandon his mission. His response, as recorded in St. Luke again, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. These powerful examples of living the law of the fast teach some basic lessons. First, there needs to be associated with fasting a purpose. The Savior himself used the fast to gain inner strength and spiritual power during a crucial part of his ministry. The law of the fast can likewise bless us in times of temptation and stress if we are willing to live it.
That's Bishop Victor L. Brown. Thank you so much for the question on the law of the fast. If you have a question for us and you'd like us to answer it on the Mormon Channel's Q&A, you can send us an email. Our email address is mormonchannel@ldschurch.org. You can also follow us on Facebook. Just go to Facebook and type in the keyword Mormon Channel. And if you'd like to download this episode or any of our radio programs from the Mormon Channel, you can go to our website at mormonchannel.org. Thank you so much for listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.